At 9 o'clock here this morning, we have for you here in the Nishna Valley mostly cloudy skies and 45 degrees. We look for a chance of showers and thunderstorms here today with cloudy to partly cloudy skies and south wind switching to the northwest at 5 to 10, high around 58 expected here today. We've had just a trace of rainfall so far here during the overnight and early morning hours here at the KJN studios. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJN News. In the latest local news, the Atlantic Police Department reports that numerous vehicles were broken into during the late evening hours last night in the downtown Atlantic area. Some of the break-ins discovered have not yet been reported by their owners as of early here this morning. Numerous items were taken from those vehicles. The Atlantic Police Department is asking the public to report anything they might have seen to assist in finding the subjects involved. They're also urging the public to keep their vehicles locked and not leave valuables in your vehicle as well. Authorities in Cass and Shelby counties were investigating two separate accidents that occurred early this morning. The first happened on Atlantic Southwest side on 29th Street, just west of Highway 6, just after 2 a.m. According to dispatch reports, a vehicle rolled over. By the time Atlantic Police and Cass County Sheriff's deputies arrived on the scene, the driver of the vehicle had taken off on foot. Atlantic Police tried to track the subject but were called back, and a Cass County canine unit began the search. A passenger in the vehicle was injured, but information concerning the extent of their injuries was not immediately available. Atlantic Fire and Rescue and Medevac Ambulance also assisted at the scene. Details concerning the accident are not currently available. Then at around 2:50 a.m., Defiance Rescue was dispatched to assist Irwin Rescue with a rollover accident on Shelby County Road M-47 just south of Irwin. The vehicle's cab was said to have been crushed in the crash. Additional details are currently not available. And around 4 a.m., Medevac Ambulance was dispatched to 1104 19th Street in Harlan, where a vehicle had struck the home at that location. No injuries were reported, and additional details are still pending there on that as well. Harlan Fire assisted at the scene. Red Oak Police responded to an accident at 1:03 p.m. on Friday in the 300 block of Oakwood Avenue. Officers determined a 1996 Chevy Blazer that was being operated by 29-year-old Michael Dwayne Johnson of Red Oak was traveling eastbound on Oakwood Avenue up a steep incline when the vehicle stalled. The Blazer then began to roll backwards down the hill and was unable to stop before striking a utility pole owned by MidAmerican Energy. The impact of the collision broke the pole in half, causing the power lines to come down over the street. No injuries occurred during the incident, and the vehicle had been moved prior to the officer's arrival. The vehicle was owned by Megan Renee Johnson of Red Oak and sustained $2,500 damage. Damage to the utility pole was estimated at $3,500. The Red Oak Police Department was assisted at the scene by deputies of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and Red Oak Fire and Rescue. The body of a homeless man who was found in the woods near Lake Manawa on Tuesday afternoon has been identified. Authorities told the Daily Nonpareil that 52-year-old Kelly Carroll, a transient, died from natural causes. Sergeant Dave Dawson with the Council Bluffs Police Department told the paper the state medical examiner's office wouldn't have a full report for a few weeks, but preliminary information shows what police originally suspected, that the death was not suspicious in nature. A Council Bluffs police officer found Carroll's skeletal remains while chasing a suspected shoplifter near the Manawa Center and Metro Crossing on the city's southeast side. When the suspect ran into the woods, an officer discovered Carroll in a tent which had the top blown off. The area where the tent was located was a popular site for transients. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a 20-year-old Harlan man at 7:44 p.m. last night on a methamphetamine charge. Jesse Lee Harrison of Harlan was arrested at the Adams County Sheriff's Office on a warrant for conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamine. The warrant stems from an incident that occurred on December 27th of 2012. Harrison's bond was set at $50,000. State medical examiner says no foul play is suspected in the death of a Woodbury County jail inmate found unconscious in his cell on Tuesday. An autopsy on the body of Anthony R. Josta reveals no foul play, but the cause of death may not be known for 6 to 8 weeks when toxicology tests are completed. The Iowa Department of Public Safety says in a statement Friday that Josta, who was 35, was found alone in his cell in Sioux City. He was unconscious and unresponsive. Woodbury County Sheriff Dave Drew has requested assistance from the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation to look into the death, a normal procedure. Josta had been in jail since last Saturday after his arrest on a warrant for contempt of court. Also in other local news, two Audubon County men were sentenced on Monday in U.S. District Court to 5 years in prison on drug-related charges. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said on Friday that 44-year-old Paul Joseph Earlmeyer and 63-year-old Randy Frank Earlmeyer, both from rural Audubon County, were sentenced to 60 months imprisonment for a conspiracy to manufacture marijuana. In addition, the court ordered Randy Frank Earlmeyer to forfeit $400,000 and Paul Joseph Earlmeyer to forfeit $104,503 for their roles in the conspiracy. Police say two Waterloo officers helped five children under the age of 12 escape from a house fire. The officers were the first to arrive at the house fire in Waterloo on Friday morning. Officers Shane Bram and Dustin Lindeman found a smoke billowing from the second floor and were told by a woman that five children between the age of 4 and 11 were still inside. The officers began searching the home and at times had to crawl along the floor due to the smoke. They found two children asleep in a bed and made sure that all five got out safely. The officers are being nominated for the police department's Medal of Valor. Also in other news here around the state, the Iowa Senate this week confirmed the leader of the Iowa National Guard for another tour of duty. Senator Daryl Beal, a Democrat from Fort Dodge, says Major General Timothy Orr has a distinguished record. The state's governor gets to choose the commander of the Iowa Guard. Senators are asked to confirm the nominee, and Orr was confirmed unanimously. 4 years ago, Governor Chet Culver asked Timothy Orr to become adjunct general of the Iowa National Guard. Governor Branstad has asked Orr to stay on for another four-year term. Senator Beal notes that there are 54 states and territories that have National Guard leaders like Orr, but Orr is the only one who is invited to formally address his state's legislature each year. Beal says Orr had a key role in transitioning the Air Guard base in Des Moines to a new mission to avoid closure of the unit once its F-16 fighter jets are retired. Pentagon officials named Camp Dodge in Johnston, Iowa, and 10 other bases for full-time soldiers as sites for the Healthy Base program. Major General Timothy Orr's office is at Camp Dodge. He oversees over 9,400 soldiers and more than 100 Iowa National Guard units. Also in other news, residents in Shelby County shouldn't be surprised to see a huge amount of smoke coming from a field in the next couple of weeks. Officials with the Shelby County Emergency Management Agency report from their Facebook page that sometime within the next 14 days, the Harlan Fire Department will be conducting a large 74-acre training burn. The exact date has not yet been chosen due to possible changes in weather conditions. Also an Atlantic native, Randy Burke is set to release his third album, Money, Heart, and Soul, next month. The album from his band, Randy Burke and the Prisoners comes 8 years after their second album, Down to This, and will be available at a special event on Friday at the historic SF Martin House Bread and Breakfast in a listening room type setting. The album release will come with dinner and signed CDs for the price of admission, which according to Burke's website is $50 to $75. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. A similar album release will take place in Des Moines on Saturday at the Gas Lamp. Tickets for that event are $7 at the door. The new album features renowned country studio musicians from across the globe, including Greg Lease, Dennis Kaplinger, Randy Ray Mitchell, Terrace Produnk, Teddy Andres, Dave Raven, and Atlantic native Jared Hall. The 40-year-old Burke has been touring for over 12 years with the Prisoners, delivering music with a rich tradition of artists like Steve Earle, Johnny Cash, and Dave Alvin. For more information on either the Atlantic or Des Moines album release events, you can go to ReverbNation.com/Randy Burke and the Prisoners. And in Iowa, Easter tradition returns today when the Pony Express riders saddle up in communities across the state for the annual horseback ride to Camp Sunnyside near Des Moines. Carol Bailey, the state coordinator for the event, says the first ride started with two horsemen in Spencer back in 1968. The ride caught on and was joined by more and more people each year until it became the organization's primary fundraiser, now with 11 main ride routes across Iowa and about 300 riders. Last year, the riders brought in nearly $220,000. Bailey says the riders will be gathering at the John Deere Works at Ankeny this afternoon, where they'll rendezvous for the final leg of the trek. And later today, there will be a victory dance at Lake Robbins Ballroom near Woodward. Located on 88 acres, Camp Sunnyside was designed, built, and is staffed to meet the recreational needs of campers, children, and adults with all types of disabilities. You can learn more at PonyExpressRidersOfIowa.org. And the Omaha Zoo has announced the names of 5 African lion cubs selected through a contest on the group's Facebook page. The Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium said Friday morning that the boy cubs have been named Josiri and Taj. The females have been named Kaya, Leela, and Zuri. Visitors to the zoo's Facebook page were asked to suggest names, and zoo workers selected 20 names from the 5,000 submissions. Those names were then posted on Facebook for a final vote. Those who submitted the winning names will be given an annual zoo membership or renewal and other gifts. The cubs were born on December 29th of last year. That's a look at your latest news here locally. Now taking a look at your world headlines here at this hour. U.S. Special Operations Forces have handed over their base in a strategic district of eastern Afghanistan to Afghan Special Forces. The withdrawal satisfies a demand by President Hamid Karzai that U.S. forces leave the area after allegations that the Americans' Afghan counterparts committed human rights abuses there on U.S. orders. The top U.S. Special Operations Commander in Afghanistan tells the AP that U.S. commandos will continue to visit the Afghan team and support them from a distance. Officials say a commercial airliner has left Egypt for Iran in the first direct passenger flight between the two countries in more than 3 decades. Cairo airport officials say a private flight departed for Tehran today carrying 8 Iranians, including 2 diplomats. Relations between the two countries have thawed since the June election of Egypt's Islamist president. A South African official says Nelson Mandela is breathing without difficulty after having a procedure to clear fluid in his lung area that was caused by pneumonia. The South African presidential spokesman says the 94-year-old former president has pneumonia. Officials have previously said he was suffering from a recurring lung infection. An official in Tanzania says hopes are dimming of rescuing more survivors from a collapsed building in Dar es Salaam. At least 18 people were killed when the nearly completed building collapsed yesterday, but more than 60 others are believed to be trapped under the rubble. More of those trapped are thought to be construction workers or bystanders. Prospects for a Senate deal on an ambitious rewrite of the nation's immigration laws appear to be improving. Officials from the AFL-CIO and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said yesterday that they're nearing agreement on a key sticking point. The two sides had been fighting over wages for tens of thousands of low-skilled workers who would be brought in under the new program to fill jobs in construction, hotels and resorts, nursing homes and restaurants, and other industries. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Myrna L. Teal, age 94, of Panora, died Tuesday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Myrna L. Teal will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Church of the Brethren in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Teresa Jo Stinn, age 52, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Teresa Jo Stinn will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Joanne Underwood, age 82, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. A funeral service for Joanne Underwood will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Erna V. Paulson, age 94, of Avoca and formerly of Harlan, died Tuesday in Avoca. A funeral service for Erna V. Paulson will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.